It's time to talk some Blues hockey. Welcome to the Blues NHL podcast, hosted by former Blues defenseman Jamie Rivers and former Blues enforcer Darren Kimball.
And we got a problem in front of the Hawk bench. Kimball pulling at Roenick. Here's Kimball swinging at Roenick wildly, and the linesman trying to get in between them.
Look at Radek. He dropped the gloves with Rivers. The referee or the linesman should jump in here. You can't let a guy like Rivers continue to throw punches.
Federico stolen from Reinhart. Breaking in to Hunter. Hunter shooting. Rebound. Recognizer scores!
Here comes Chevalier. He'll be thrown out of the game. Curtis Joseph grabs Chevalier, and the two goalies go at it. Head to head. And Joseph with three great rights.
To Turgeon, Hall looking for 500. He shoots. He scores! Brett Hall, number 500. Tarasenko, he declares, he scores!
And now, here's your off-ice official, Jim Cromer.
Hello, Blues fans, and welcome to a Tuesday edition of your Blues NHL podcast. I'm your off-ice official, Jim Cromer. Let me welcome in everyone's favorite on ice coach for McKendree Hockey, Gary Henson. What's going on?
Hey, what's up, pal?
Well, interesting evening. I'd like to be a little more excited today, and I am excited. Let's be frank. They are in the Stanley Cup. I'm going with my monotone. You like that?
I do.
Okay. No, I'm just, it's just like, it's, are you disappointed? I mean, it like you don't want to be that guy, right? Like, hey, we're in a Stanley Cup. It's one game. And I know it's one game, and I wouldn't surprise me at all if we win, you know, next game. Still wouldn't surprise me if we win in six. That being said, we got dominated for 40 straight minutes. Well, 39. After we scored the second goal, I have no unearthly idea what in the hell happened.
Well, unfortunately, this has happened before.
Yes.
Fortunately, the Blues have adjusted.
Yes.
And come back even stronger. So if you go back to the other series, there were times, doesn't matter which series, you can pick Winnipeg, you can pick Dallas, you can pick San Jose. There were times early in the series where the Blues got up a goal or got up two goals, maybe three. I don't know.
Two, doesn't matter.
Two for sure. And then it seems like they get nervous. Like it just seems like they get on their heels a little bit. They stop being aggressive. And I think it's just because the amount of pressure that's on them. I'm not making excuses for them, but what I'm telling you is they turn into a team that gets a two goal lead and then says, oh shit, we're winning, and tries to hold on to that lead instead of attacking. And so that's happened a couple times this playoffs, but the Blues have responded. So I'm not going to be like pessimistic about it. I'm going to try and be optimistic.
Right. And again, I'm not like the series is over. Oh my God. I mean, the game reminded me a lot of game one against San Jose. We looked overwhelmed. I mean, after we got up, I mean, we looked overwhelmed. And
perfect example.
And we looked slow.
Well, we're going to look slow against these guys. That's one of the big advantages that Boston has over the Blues, and the Blues haven't really seen this sort of speed yet this playoffs because these guys are fast.
And it was noticeable last night. Especially, there were some absolute rushes by individuals that can't happen. It's one thing to be tic-tac-toed. It's another thing to have an individual impose his will on you and blow through you, if you will.
Well, you can't back up on your goaltender.
Yes, I'll never understand that just, as long as
at
I
some
live.
Point you have to decide that you're gonna take the body or do something more than just hold your stick out and allow a guy to rip a shot in a slot like that while you're back, not only backing up, but
backing in to him.
Hold on, and away. Like watch. He just backs away. And so now granted he's trying to let let 50 see the puck there, but I'm going to tell you, I would never teach a defenseman to do some of what we saw the Blues defense do, and not just one guy in particular. Like, I mean, there were several mistakes, and we could nitpick the hell out of it. You know, I mean, what was 55 doing on the empty net goal? You're just going to – it's 6-on-5, and you're just going to swat the puck away like that? Like, what are you doing? Wow. Like, there were some panic moves by some important people on the Blues team, and they panicked. And when you panic against a team like Boston, they're going to abuse you, and that's what happened.
Well, since you like to use numbers, I'll follow suit and ask you, what in the F is Six doing?
Six has been a below-average defenseman for a lot of this playoffs, in my opinion. I know, you know, Jamie's going to say differently, and I'm just going to stick to my opinion on that. We talk about some of the...
He stood right next to the gentleman last night.
Didn't take the stick away. They even
didn't take anything away.
No, they even addressed it on the post game on NBC. Those guys were like, "You have to take a stick away," and you didn't. The fourth line abused 4-41 and six. And six hasn't been. He just hasn't been good. But the Blues have won without him playing his best hockey. I'm hoping that his best hockey is still to come. Maybe this is a wake-up.
Yeah, because I'm a fan.
Because he, yeah,
I'm
me
a fan.
Too. I really like
I'm
six,
a big
but
fan.
He literally passed the puck right to them
on numerous occasions.
Twice
okay,
for
I was
sure.
Say you're addressing both.
Twice
okay.
for sure, which led to a goal and led to a scoring opportunity before that. So, I don't know. I just, I'd like to see him play better. I'd like to see him keep the game more simple. And I'd like to see him be a more physical presence.
Well, because that's what he should, that should be his game, and we're going to need it.
Yeah, absolutely. You need him to do the dirty work in front and down low, and you need him to, you know, separate guys from the puck, and, you know, he has to be supported by the forwards low in the D zone when that happens. And, you know, hopefully he'll turn around, but he's not the only guy that had issues yesterday. We could pick out a lot of problems yesterday, but hey, optimistic, it's only one. They were down 1-0 to San Jose, came back. I think this Blues team matches up well against Boston, and I'm encouraged about what we're going to see. I mean, I think, okay, I think we're good.
Oh, yeah. That can only mean one thing. Somebody heard physical presence. Somebody heard take the body and decided it was time to call in. Let's welcome in everybody's favorite former Blues enforcer, Darren Kimball. What's going on, buddy?
What's up, gentlemen? What's up?
Well, maybe you heard us talking about number six not playing very well and not playing near physical enough. I don't know. We're not going to blame it on him or anybody for that matter, but we just happened to be talking about that when you decided to call in.
Yeah, you know what? I understand what you guys are saying. You look at the game last night, and I'll tell you what, I don't think the – and people can call me crazy on this one, and that's fine, but I think the Bruins bring a whole different type of speed to this game, and I think the Blues defense got caught sort of after they got through the first period, not even the first period, because the Bruins, I think maybe even though they're down 2-0, they're still in the ball game, and then they might even be outplaying the Blues a little bit in the first period, and then all of a sudden they just take this thing over. But I think speed wise, it's just the Blues are going to have to adapt to the speed, because these guys are coming and they're coming to hit you, and then they bring out the big line and they start rolling around. And then the transition game they got is the Boston game is nothing like I've seen so far in this playoff. So it turns and you turn it over and it goes right back at you. And you know, they outshot them double last night. So it's just, the Blues weren't ready for it.
Yeah. That's that came up here in our intro, is that we looked slow, which is a product of the fact that they're fast, obviously. And we're, I don't know that we were ready. Now I did mention that, you know, I thought we've been outplayed at other times in the other series, and we seem to have found a way to bounce back and neutralize it. And a lot of that will go to Craig Berube making some adjustments and the rest of the coaching staff, and then the players' ability to adapt. You know, what do you think is going to have to happen from a Blue standpoint to negate that speed?
Well, yeah, I'll tell you what. Here's what my take of the game is too. And as good as Binnington played, he played really well. Two goals. I think the goal, the second goal in the power play. You know, he knows he has to have that, and it got by him. And then the rebound goal where they bang it in to get the go ahead goal. It's just, you know, so as good as he played, he's been stopping everything. When the Blues weren't ready to roll, he'd shut the door for him. And so that's got to get a little better. And I'm not blaming him. I'm just saying it's got to get a little better. But these defensemen, like on the first goal, the Bertuzzo, he's looking the wrong way. Why? He should be looking at the puck, and he's looking the wrong way, and he doesn't see it coming. If he's facing the play, he's got it. And Edmonton's sort of the same way on the third goal. After the giveaway, he comes back, but they don't know where the puck is, and then the puck comes across, and then it goes in our net. So I just think I think there's – I'll tell you what, like Blaze, who was fabulous the last two series – would he might, you know, you might need a Fabry guy in here that can skate, as you know, skate with these guys and do the banging and that. And I you know, and I don't know where else you go, but some guys looked really slow last night, really slow.
They you know, the Blues come out, I mean, and I know that you said that you're not 100% sure we even outplayed them early and we were up 2-0, but you know, that had to be a good feeling for the club to come out 2-0. Gary kind of brought up that what he's noticed from this team is when they get up 2-0, sometimes they get real.
They get tight.
They get tight.
They get nervous.
Are you noticing that?
Well, I just think this defense, and you know, on the one goal, Petro, when he comes in, the second goal they score, Petro's sitting inside the, I know it's a power play, but he was still sitting inside the top of the circles. And I just think this, I think the Bruins, you know, and people are going to say, oh, no, that's not true. They had the layoff, so you knew they were going to come out, and I thought they'd be flatter than they actually were. Because, like I said, I think they outplayed them in the first period. Not by a lot, but I think they had a better outchance them, and we scored some timely goals. And I just think after the first period, the Bruins, maybe with all the first period out of the way and all the nonsense that's going, they actually hit their stride. And they're a good hockey team, guys. So you know you're gonna have to play on top of your. And I don't believe the Blues were. So, you know, it is what it is. We, you know, you got to go back and win the next one. That's all it is.
Yeah. So, how do you win the next one? Like, if you're in the room and you're gonna make, there's got to be an adjustment made somewhere. Some of the simple. I don't know if you want to use the word adjustment, but some of the simple solution is some of your guys got to play better. That's a given, but do you make, I know you brought up, you know, maybe a possible lineup change. Do you do something like that, or do you, or is there something they can do, I guess, functionally with maybe the setup through the neutral zone or something like that to negate this a little bit?
You can do a couple things like that. But I think the series with San Jose, they were a slower team. Yeah, they had a lot of offense, but they were a slower team. The Stars aren't as fast as these guys. It's just, so that's why I say you got a fiber guy. I don't know where Dunn's at. You know, I know he's wearing the cage out there, but, you know, he's a fast skater. And, you know, he might eliminate one of those other three defensemen that are sitting there. Bertuzzo, who might be struggling a little bit against these guys, Edmonton. But Berube don't have fucking a lot of time here. You know, you're in the Stanley Cup Finals. So you go to Boston, and I was saying, and I'm thinking you got to win one out there. You don't want to get down 2-0 because – it'd be pretty hard against Boston to win 4 out of 5. So I'm not saying you can't do it. I'm just saying it's pretty tough. So yeah, you know, you go in there and then you lay an egg on the second and third period. But I just think you got to find a way to get a little more speed, a little more transition to go after them. And, you know, I think he might have to make a couple changes. I don't know if he does or not. He knows that team obviously better than I do. I just think you're lacking speed. I think the Bruins just fucking flat out skated you into the ground last night.
Yeah, Kimmy, the Bruins looked much faster than anything the Blues have seen recently, and it looked like there was trouble to adjust. So if going into this next game, you have to do something to negate that speed. One of the things you the Blues have been very good at all year was taking away the middle of the ice. One of the things they were not good at yesterday was taking away the middle of the ice. So I think that has to be something that that they focus on and keep speed. You can't let speed in the middle. I mean, you really can't let any NHL team in the middle, but you definitely can't let speed in the middle. And so I think that's one adjustment they have to make. I think the other adjustment they have to make is obviously discipline with the penalties. That's really obvious. And then the third thing I think the Blues need to address is just that, again, we've talked about it, you know, some during this whole playoff run, is the enormous amount of turnovers by the defense in particular for this Blues team. Now they make adjustments and they seem to rebound, and I think they're going to, but again, This is it. This is the big one. So managing the puck is ultimately important. So I think going into the next game, those are three things that have to be on the table and have to be discussed and have to have some adjustments made.
And what you're saying is true, Gary, but and why do they have to – the reason why the Blues have succeeded in the other ones, they are a big team. Everyone talks about how a big team. Well, what does a big team have to do? They have to control the corners. So they had no offensive time at all hardly last night, very, very little of it. And then there was times they had success, but they couldn't sustain any pressure on their defense down there. And, you know, they're going to have to go back to this process of banging the shit out of them or something to wear them down and get them in the corners. And that's where Pat Maroon plays better. I think Shen, you know, that's where he's going to play better. They got to get in the corners and they got to get some more offensive time. They had nothing. And then you're right. It opens up the, It makes your defense more susceptible than they are because, you know, if you're not in their offensive zone, they're obviously going to be coming after you, right? So I think, you listen to Berube talk about chipping pucks deep and getting them deep. Yeah, and get on it now. Now we got to get on the damn thing and play some more in their own in the Bruins zone because that's been the whole success of their playoffs.
Yeah, and so what we saw yesterday and the reason why Coach Berube said that is – if you look at yesterday's game, there were a lot of times where the Blues turned the puck over just outside the Bruins blue line or just inside the Bruins blue line. And those aren't characteristics of the Blues game. That in particular isn't something the Blues do. The Blues aren't a team that gains the line, curls, waits for a wave to come, and maybe hits the first or second wave. That's not their style of game. And that's I'm not saying that's what they were trying to do, but they were turning pucks over as if that was what they were trying to do, and the puck didn't get deep. If you can't get the puck into the corner so that Seven can get there and put immediate pressure on their D or whomever retrieves that puck for them, the Blues are that line's going to be negated for sure. And so that's something that has to happen. I thought I thought Shen's line was excellent, but I thought, you know, I didn't think the fourth line was bad, but I didn't think they played to their level either. It just seemed like when the Blues got gained the zone, so to speak, there wasn't enough speed to get the puck low, and the Bruins were able to recover it pretty easily and move it out, like you said.
And you watched the starts of the first period and the second period, like you said, with Barbashev's line. In the past couple series here, they've been able to get the puck deep and go in and start this bullshit. But last night, Boston took it to them. So it sort of threw them off the thing. And then the last thing I'll say on this other process is, you know, you're playing in the Stanley Cup Finals and you got these fucking referees. That Thomas call was about the most stupidest fucking call I've ever seen. And, you know, he doesn't even touch the guy. And you know, I just
we're talking about the hook? You're talking about the hook?
I don't know. He didn't put his hardy stick on him for 2 seconds. I don't know how he hooked him. I don't know what the fuck that's all about. That's terrible.
That was
and, you know, I give you the other one where he cross-checks him from behind into the boards a little bit. In the old days, they don't call that shit. But, you know, I'm listening to fucking Gary Bettman's fucking interview, and all the players are much better than all the boys back in the day. So, you know, games change, I guess. So I don't know what the fuck that idiot's doing.
Well, I could have used an embellishment call there because – granted 70 had no, it did not need to touch him at all there.
Yeah, but, he didn't.
You know, it didn't hurt to take a little fall there either.
No. And I'll tell you what, the hit on Thomas when he got hit, there's no fucking, I don't think there's no charge. That's a fair fucking hit.
That's
you
watch
the replay.
Hit.
Yeah, he's got his feet on the ice. And
I was
going to
ask you
down.
About that. His feet come off the ice after the hands are down.
And initial contact.
There's no, his feet weren't moving before he hit him.
No, but
he got out of stride.
I mean, the rule.
He sort of goes. He comes from a long distance.
He does.
So you probably, in the regular season, they you know, that's probably a penalty they fucking going to call. I you know, playoffs is a little different. So, but I don't think, you know, he didn't really fucking, he come from a long way. So they might have a possibility of giving him something, but I don't see
he
it.
Did he come did come from a long way, and it's blowing up on Twitter and Facebook today.
He quit moving his feet
but
plenty
he
of time. He stopped moving his feet.
And he glided a long time.
Yeah, they? I mean, don't they typically only call that if you come from that distance and you're still moving your
and
feet
you
at impact?
Through
yeah,
him with your feet.
And realistically, if they want, if they really want to get down to the people that bitch about it, because Mr. Perron probably could have went and sat in the penalty box fucking for the shit he was pulling off in front of the net if you really want to bitch about it. So,
absolutely.
You know, the play wouldn't even happen if it was the referee was calling all the really nonsense, you know what I mean?
For yeah, sure.
Absolutely.
So. Well, Kimby, I know you're taking time out of your normal schedule work-wise, so we're going to let you get out of here. We'll hopefully have numerous of these to go.
I think I'm gonna show up Thursday in house again. And
I'm going
tomorrow night. I'm gonna go down to the Enterprise Center and then take in this thing with the family. And I gotta sign some autographs. I guess they want to sign some autographs. So.
Yeah, a little signing, so
we'll
huh?
Yeah, we'll go down there and see what this is all about. And
so they didn't want Cromer and me. For
yeah, I was gonna say they didn't want me and Gary. Just you, huh?
Okay. You know what? If you go on the YouTube or the internet, wherever the shit was being posted, though, the fans, boys, I'll tell you what, St. Louis is, it's just fired up, isn't it? All the fucking.
It is fun, right?
Over there. Wow.
It is fun.
Wow, it was crazy.
Hey, did you ever think, I mean, the they opened up the upper bowl and sold it out.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
the whole place
to
was
watch
sold
TV.
Out. This is crazy. Yeah, to watch TV. Come on with us and watch some TV. But you know what, though? People were kind of laughing about, like you said, watch it. But you know what? It would be fun. I mean,
I
to
would,
be.
Yeah,
yeah,
I wanted to be
I,
there.
It would be a good time.
You know
so.
What? I think that's the typical fan nowadays. Anyway, now the true fans, you know, they get to go in there and they can be like the new fan. And they can talk during the whole game while they're sitting there because it's really not live action. You're just watching on TV, right?
But it's like watching a game with 20,000 of your buddies, really, and you ain't got to worry about nothing. So
exactly.
Everybody there for the same thing. But you'll have a good time. Good for you. Take the fam. Go have a good one. And you can come in Thursday morning and tell us all about it. Now we just got to get Big Time to come in Thursday and be here with you.
Big Time. You know what? He's looking sharp last night doing his thing. So we'll. I take his points on the – I see him on Twitter. He's putting his points out there and all that. So, you know, he's Rivers is doing a good job. It's just this will be I'll be interested in what he has to say on this thing. But it's one game. So you're playing the Stanley Cup Finals, guys, and you know who knows what's fucking coming out of Game One. Now the Blues know what to expect. They come out Game Two. They should be ready to roll and hopefully get back on course.
All right, Pally. We'll plan on seeing you in studio on Thursday. Have a good time tomorrow night.
Yeah, have a good one, guys.
All righty, the man, the myth, the legend, D. Kimble. Yeah, I mean, you know what? You almost could have guessed where he was going to go with his conversation today. But good stuff as always.
Not
hey,
a fan of Gary
Bettman. No, never a fan of Gary Bettman's. I know we'll be waiting for our boy Rivs to give us a call here in a few. While we're waiting on him, don't forget to check us out at bluesnhlpodcast.com. You can subscribe to the show there, which we would ask all of you to do. It is free. Listen to the shows there as well, but you can find us on social media, which it's, you know, this time of year especially is always good to follow us with everything that's going on. Check us out on Twitter. We are at STL Blues Podcast. If you're a Blues fan, we're going to follow you back. Hit us up on Facebook. We're trying to grow that account. Type in Blues NHL Podcast. Go to the page. Make sure you've liked it. If you would, please click invite your friends and do so. That'd be great. The pin post, 99 times out of 100, will be the latest show. If you could make sure you comment on it. Throw a like on it, and more importantly, share it. That way we can bring more people into the community. That'd be great. You can also find us on Instagram at Blues NHL Podcast, and of course, as part of lineupmediagroup.fm, home of some great podcasts, and of course, the newest streaming platform for your mobile device, Yo Radio. Make sure you download it today. Lots of cool stuff happening on Yo Radio. Like I said, I would advise you to download it. There's some great promotions going on there, as well as some awesome music. Happy to have so many people support this show and be a part of what we're doing. Starts with our man Randy Green at InnovativeCompanies.com. 35 years experience, second generation craftsman, man of his word, old school, still just wants to shake your hand and say, let's do this, and you can count on it getting done. residential, commercial, industrial, doesn't matter. He's got you covered. The heating and cooling team, the electric team, and more importantly, the construction team is ready to roll at your disposal. And a happy birthday to my buddy Randy Green. We want to make sure we wish him one as most deserving of a great day, a guy that's helped so many people, including us here at Blues NHL Podcast. Happy birthday, Randy. So many other great people involved with this show that we can't say enough about all of them. I want to remind everybody that the St. Louis Youth Hockey Fights Cancer Group is giving away 4 tickets to game 4. It might be 2 tickets. Don't hold me to that. I know they're giving away tickets. All you got to do, though, folks, is go to their page, stlyouthhockeyfightscancer.org, and it'll give you an opportunity as soon as you get there to register. So they're doing so many great things for kids, and it's just an amazing group led by a tremendous lady, our own Stephanie Nelson with NelsonLandServices.com. Don't forget to give them an opportunity for your business. They have earned it, I assure you. NelsonLandService.com, 5-star locally rated landscaping company with reasonable prices. They do the best work out there, folks, and you can count on it to get done right. That's our friends at NelsonLandServices.com. To my friend Noel Buckingham and Buckingham Pest Control, we ask everybody to please check out their wonderful Facebook page. They've always got some cool stuff going on. And, of course, everyone needs pest control. I think that you should give them an opportunity for your business. We're asking you to do so as they have supported the show to help keep us rolling here. And we're going to ask you to do the same. That's our friend Noel and Kristen Buckingham. Buckingham Pest Control. They do not kill penalties, but they kill pests, and they pass the savings along to you. But they may need to start killing penalties at this rate because we're going to need some help. And we've talked about putting Noel in front of the net before on the power play. But I think if we really need Noel to do something on the power play, it might be to gain the zone. Could somebody carry the puck across the blue line, please, and gain the zone?
Nah.
We don't want to do that.
Nah.
Does it remind you a little bit of the old Chuck Norris days, the old dump and chase?
Come on.
I'm going to get you going, ain't I?
Yeah.
Well, oh, yeah, there you go. See, you say the words dump and chase, and there he is. I got to tell you, Hence, there's something about the Imperial March after a loss versus a win that seems fitting. What's going on, Revs?
Not much, guys. You know, it wasn't the Picasso that we wanted out of the Blues.
Wasn't a Van Gogh.
No, it wasn't any of the above.
It was Van Gogh's
what
year.
I've learned, if I've learned anything this year, is that, you know, you can't go reading into it with this team. I think that they've bounced back from so many different things, including last series where we're down 1-0 in San Jose and everybody thought the sky was falling because the Sharks looked so good in game 1. We're like, oh no, you know, and I kind of saw a lot of the same last night to where it's almost like we had to feel their best. I compare it to like Rocky Balboa when he's like, you know, hit me harder. And he wants to feel how hard Clubber Lang can actually hit him so he can figure out how much he can take. And I put that with our Blues. It's like, give us your best. We want to show we want you to show us exactly what you've got. And now we're going to go back, lick our wounds, and now we're ready, though. Now we know you're best.
Yeah, I think they definitely saw what the Boston Bruins are capable of. I mean, we talked about Blues depth a lot, and I think you see in our counterpart this series the depth they have. I mean, if you go and look, Rivs, there are 2 Boston Bruins that didn't have a shot on goal yesterday, and one of them was Tuukka Rask. So if that doesn't, you know, display depth, I don't know what does. Conversely, the Blues have like 6 or 7 that didn't have a shot on goal. So I think the Blues bounce back. Jimmy and I were talking about it when we came on about how the Blues respond after a loss, and I think there's going to be some adjustments made, and you know what those adjustments will be. So we're excited about. I'm still excited. I still get chills thinking about the Blues playing in the Stanley Cup final. It's just remarkable.
Yeah, I agree. Look, here's pretty much the whole game in a nutshell, and I'm sure you guys have already talked about it, but just from my perspective of watching it, is we came out pretty good. You know, our start was pretty good. Now, it's not as good as, you know, some may think. Even though we're up 2-0, we still didn't have a lot of zone time, puck possession, or scoring chances from lines 2, 3, and 4 last night. We just didn't. We had a couple of sporadic moments, but nothing consistent. Line one, as great as they were, they're kind of a one and done line. And I don't mean that in a bad way. Obviously, they scored two goals. They did their job. But the problem is that they were creating off of one play. You know, and if that one play didn't work, then Boston was coming back with transition at 100 miles an hour at our poor D who were standing in the neutral zone trying to, you know, gap up and keep a good gap and match their speed, which, let's be honest, at times it was like unmatchable. I've never seen in this playoff run the St. Louis Blues D. I don't want to say it worked because that's not the right word. They just, the breakaways that happen from nowhere where guys are splitting the D, where guys get a pass and they zip through an opening and all of a sudden they're all by themselves. And I haven't seen that. And I think that that's just a direct indication of we didn't have enough traffic in the neutral zone. We didn't have enough resistance from our forward layer of defense and then onto our D. So, look, I said it last night post-game. There's nothing that happened that we cannot fix. Right. That's the best thing about it. Now, are we going to be able to fix it against the Boston Bruins? Because, hey, they're a hell of a hockey team. Like you said, Gary, they're the best team out of the Eastern Conference. And quite honestly, I had these guys go into the Stanley Cup final a long time ago. Albeit I had picked it against the Blues, who may be a little favoritism there. But still, this is a powerful team, top to bottom. I said it before the series started. I said it like 10 times already since we've talked about it. Good Spider-Man versus evil Spider-Man. Both guys have each other's powers. They know each other's secrets. And now it's like, which one can beat the other guy to the punch? And last night, it looks like the Bruins got the upper hand.
It did. And so we talked about some adjustments that need to be made. And one thing I saw, and you mentioned it too, is the Blues have always been credited by you and other former NHLers who are analysts. That the Blues do a good job of taking away the middle of the ice. That didn't happen yesterday. And one of the things that helps take away the middle of the ice is when you have good gaps. But one of the things that helps good gaps, as you know, is your D gap can be better if there's backside pressure. And there wasn't much backside pressure because the Bruins were flying out of the zone. And I think the Blues forwards need to do a better job of supporting their D so their D can have good gaps, because there were times like we saw and you mentioned where guys all of a sudden broke free through the middle or were able to gain a zone easily. Why? Because the D gaps weren't there and the Blues D were backing up because the Bruins were coming so fast. So I guess what I'm asking you is if the Blues forwards need to pay better attention to that, how do you go from a team that likes to work down low and cycle the puck and work down low as the Blues do to a team that has to play that way, but also has to have that backside pressure? What's the adjustment that needs to be made there?
Well, the major thing that kind of encompasses all of it is the fact that the Blues have to do a better job of managing the puck and puck placement. And if you watched last night, there were way too many turnovers in pivotal areas, like right at the blue lines for sure. The Blues kept trying to go cross ice with passes. And rather than just chipping it up the wall and advancing it behind the coverage so that you can keep the pressure on those D, keep those Boston Bruins defense turning around and going to get pucks, keep the pressure on that. You initiate a great forecheck when you have a chance at a puck. If you pass it into their end and they get it right away, you can't really forecheck because they're able to move up ice on you immediately. There's no contesting it. But if you put it to an area where you actually have a foot race to a puck, well, now you can implement a forecheck because they don't have a clean exit on the play. So for me, it comes down to puck placement, getting it behind the D. When there's no play there, the play is not to go cross-ice, soft pass, looking for the home run play, because Boston thrives on that. They knock down pucks, right. They find loose pucks, and they turn and burn big right. time. And that's where you get no backside pressure because your guys are headed up ice and the puck is going back the other way. You know, I've always compared this with kids I coach. And this is funny. As I say, you know, imagine a creek that's got movement and it's headed in one direction. I said, you throw a piece of paper on top of the water. The paper goes boom quickly, straight downstream with the flow of the water. And imagine that the flow of that water is going towards your net.
Right.
And every time you throw a crappy pass through the river, boom, it heads right back to your net quickly, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, that's the exact same thing. It, every time you don't advance the puck, and Craig Berube knows it. He talks about playing north all the time. He doesn't say, hey, guess what? We're an incredible east-west team.
Yeah.
I've never heard that out of him once. So, you know they have to go north. And when they do that, then they wear down guys like Chara, like Krug, like this Clifton, who's come out of nowhere.
Right.
You know, but he's a little body that, look, last night I got into a debate with Scotty Warman and a couple other people down at Ballpark Village, and they're like, oh, we can't catch Krug. You know, he's just too quick. And I go, are you kidding me? I'm like, we caught Heiskanen. We caught Klingberg. We damn well put Carlson out of the playoffs.
Right.
Trust me, we can catch Torrey Krug. We're just not putting it into an area where we're giving ourselves a chance. So I think that's the biggest thing for me. Well, everything you talked about comes off of good puck management. When you don't manage the puck well, you have no chance to implement any of those other things.
Right. And I don't, and so, and not to kick a dead horse, but anyway, in my, and I always have to disclaim this, I know my team's not NHL, but in my team, I stress how important the blue lines are, and we don't go east and west at either one of them. You know, we just don't do that when it's not, you know, a clean or whatever, but we're a north team. Like my team will tell you, I scream north constantly. But anyway, it seemed like the Blues were really not good at there at the Bruins blue line, which is what you were saying. We were going east and west. So to me, guys like Seven aren't going to be as effective if we aren't north. We can't have guys have forwards and or D, weak side D on, joining the rush, slowing down at the blue line because all of a sudden we made a parallel pass at the blue line. And that seemed to be what we were doing last night, and hopefully that adjustment's made.
Well, I think it will be. They'll go over the video today. They'll have a quick little chat. They'll see it. They'll clip like four or five of them. You don't need to overdo it as a coaching staff. And the guys already know. You know, as they're making these plays, they're realizing it. So it'll be a quick adjustment. The best thing about it is they get a chance to start over from scratch at 0-0 starting next game. And it gives themselves an opportunity to get a split in Boston. And at the end of the day, that's really what we wanted.
You know what's going to be the best thing to come out of all this, don't you, Hens?
What's that?
Is when Rivs listens back to this and realizes that he and I are in lockstep on what happened.
Oh, jeez.
When he goes, oh, no, Cromer pointed out the speed, and can somebody please gain the blue line? But when that happens, he's going to go, man, I got to really do something here if me and Cromer
there's no
on the
way.
Same page.
I guarantee what you do is you do this, and you go back, and then you record a segment after I've already talked about it. And act like you did it before.
I know it irritates you when you're not here to hear what I have to say, so you can disagree with it on purpose, but that's okay. Hey, speak of the devil. Speaking of that devil, let's let that devil out of the bag to you right now. Your boy is going to be here Thursday, and he wants to know if he's going to get big-timed again.
I'm not sure. This guy, I have no idea. I am literally waking up every day, and my schedule is like... hitting me in the face. So I would.
Well, he said he'd like to see you since you don't return his texts or calls. He said he'd sure like to see you.
Oh, my God. He is such a whiner. I return all his texts and calls. It's like being married to another person. If I don't answer right away, I get scolded. I mean, holy shit.
He says, hey, off
you know
air.
What, though?
You know what he told me off air? Boy, he's got plenty of time to post Twitter the pics of me as a Buffalo out there, but he ain't got time to text me back.
First of all, how great was that picture?
That was
good.
Outstanding.
That was outstanding.
You know what, though, Ribs?
I've always got time to post those pictures and camera.
You take away your takeaway. Let's ignore your playing career for a second. This has to be one of the funnest times for you. Like, you got to be having a blast.
It's crazy. It's fun. I mean, the buzz in St. Louis is fantastic, for sure. I said tonight to a couple of people is, you know, you go through your career in the spot, and I end up retiring here and staying here and living here and making St. Louis my home. And the only, you know, you try not to have regret. The only regret that I really have is player, and everybody talks about, oh, how much it means and this and that and the other. I regret not being able to do this for the fans with any team I was on. And it's always been a sore spot for me because, you know, we had some amazing teams and we should have gotten to at least this point, if not better, with some of those squads. And we didn't. And so to have this happen now, it's really awesome. I'm like soaking it all in, watching people's faces, watching people walk around in Blues clothes, watching kids running around pretending they're Ryan O'Reilly or Vladimir Tarasenko. And, you know, their parents, you know, they ran around pretending they were Brett Hull or Al MacInnis, you know. So for me, it's like come full circle to where I sit back, and as much as it's chaotic right now in the city in a good way, I kind of find some peace in it. And I love to just sit back and watch everybody enjoying the moment. And for me, that feels really good. I feel like finally I'm a part of something that has brought this moment to these fans, not as a player, but I'm able to have a voice in some of this and take part in some of the TV and radio stuff. So it's an awesome moment, personally, but more so for the fans who get to enjoy this great time.
Well, it's going to be I hate to jump ahead a few days, but I can't even imagine what Saturday is going to be like in St. Louis.
Guys, it's going to be nuts.
Well, can you imagine? I mean, especially when they win this thing on Wednesday night and come home 1-1, it's going to be real nuts. Real nuts.
Well, you look at last night, for example. We do the show from Ballpark Village when they're on the road. We have a crew in Boston and a crew at Ballpark Village. And Enterprise Center was sold out to the
Amazing.
Raptors.
Amazing.
Like, it's almost a bizarro world because you're watching all these people cheer and celebrate and beers are being slung around. And yet it's like they're all mental health patients because there's no team on the ice, you know, and I don't mean that with any disrespect, certainly, but it's amazing. So people are so, you know, into it that they're filling a building and watching TV together. And then you go down the road and Ballpark Village is much the same. They got an indoor watch party, an outdoor watch party. The place is slammed wall to wall. Our boy, Big Willie, our intern, Big Willie, he made an appearance last night. I think he left his mark on Ballpark Village. You know, he was celebrating like we won the cup last night, even though we lost. So, it's pretty awesome. I can't wait for the weekend to see, you know, what it's going to look like downtown. I mean, when that massive circus hit St. Louis, I mean, you look at last night, the coverage, NHL Network is there, NBC is there. They have their local people there, and it's just nuts. So I'm excited to see it. I thought the Winter Classic was a little bit crazy. That will pale in comparison to what we're about to experience this weekend.
Well, you know, your boy Kimby's been invited to the watch party tomorrow night and says he's got to get his Sharpie out and get his autograph signature going and going to take the family down. And they're doing some cool stuff down there, it sounds like, for the fans.
Send him a cheat sheet, Riv, so he spells his name correctly.
Yeah, let's make sure Kimby spells his own name correctly.
Yeah, I'm not sure if he knows how to write without having crayon.
Man. You know what he'll say, too? These are all the pot shots he'll take, but he won't take them in here if he's in studio with me on Thursday, as he would say.
I'll give them to him.
Yeah, that would be good.
You know what? It's amazing. Just to hit on that one more time, Colonel, it's amazing what's going on because, yeah, the alumni are getting involved. The ownership's involved. We see, you know, a couple of planes of staff from the Blues headed up to Boston to go enjoy the experience, and then back here, Beth, who runs the alumni with Bruce Affleck. These guys are putting together autograph signings at the watch parties. And you know what it's like, guys. Like, everybody loves the current team, but the people who have been waiting for so long for this moment, those people remember Larry Patey. They remember Bruce Affleck. They remember Mike Zouk. And, you know, just go down the people that they remember. And they get a chance to see those guys. And then you a little fast forward, you get Darren Kimball, Kelly Chase, you know, Bernie Federko, all these guys from the 80s. Fast forward, you get some of the guys from the 90s, Reed Lowe, Jim Campbell, Cam Jansen. So you're getting all these eras of Blues hockey, and now everybody's in the same vicinity. And fans can take the opportunity to get signatures, talk to them, pictures. So it's really pretty unbelievable.
Yeah, what a life-changing moment for the city to be. You know, I mean, that's how I described it when somebody asked, you know, how friends of ours asked this weekend when we were out of town, how big is this for St. Louis? And I said, it's honestly life-changing for the city of St. Louis. It's a life-altering experience. And
well, look, just to hit on that, Gary, real quick again, is I'm so sick and tired of negative press about St. Louis. And, you know, my family, everybody lives up in Canada. And anytime something happens in St. Louis, like, they automatically think they was, like, right around the block from it. And, you know, they talked about some of the negative stuff that has happened over the years and the tornadoes that hit us and stuff like that. You know, they don't realize, one, that we're not all living right next door to all that stuff. And, two, they don't realize how amazing this city truly is, you know, top to bottom. And, three, is now... Now, we said it before with the Winter Classic, that the world will finally see what St. Louis can do. Well, now, even on a bigger stage, we're going to get everybody from all over the world coming in here to report on the Stanley Cup Final, to talk to players, to do things. And they're going to be able to drink in St. Louis as a city and see the fan base that we have and see the support. So, yeah, it's so much bigger than just a hockey game at right. the end of the day, but it's really cool.
And I get to see a lot of it of what you're talking about because of what I do. I have to recruit, right? So I recruit from all over the world. And one of the things asked when young men and their families research St. Louis, they ask about particular things. And I say, listen, the media can say what they want, but here's the reality. And I use you guys, the Blues that stayed here and the Cardinals that stayed here and some of the Rams that are, you know, still here. And I say, look, if it was a bad place to live, why do we have such an enormous amount of pro athletes who retire somewhere else or retire here and stay in St. Louis? Like that, yeah. That should say something about the city. And I don't think it's something the media touches on very much. And honestly, I think it's a story. I think if somebody decided when the blue season's over to kind of encapsulate, you know, St. Louis in a better light, they could look at all of that and have a story about it and interview some of you guys. I think it's out there. There's a story to be told is what I'm saying. And the story to be told is what you're talking about. It is how great a city this really is.
Well, I'll tell you what, circling back onto topic here, because I know Chrome is probably foaming at the mouth because he's got things written down.
He's looking at his phone.
I have nothing written down. I have nothing written down.
To hit on your point.
When have I ever had anything written down, by the way? You're Mr. Write It Down.
Way to get your panties in a bunch.
But you know what? It actually just made sense right there. Now everybody knows just how unprepared you really are.
I know. It's good.
I'm just saying.
That's because you're the professional.
Let's go.
To circle back to, you know, the Stanley Cup Final in the Boston Bruins, you know, David Backes, right now public enemy number one, certainly one of them, has already talked about coming back here, retiring and settling in St. Louis when his career's over. So, guess what? It can't be that bad. And guess what, Boston? Your city sucks because he's not talking about retiring there.
Right, exactly. Hey, so
there we go.
So, I was a little bit surprised, and then I kind of like, had a little bit of a brain moment, but 63 was kind of quiet last night. Didn't really, quiet in the sense of his behavior, not his game, because his game was serious. Like that guy can play, but little bit quiet. So I thought it was kind of funny to see that it wasn't 63 stirring the pot and getting the Blues all fired up. It was 42.
Well, there's two things to that, okay? One, talking about Marchand on this one here, he got a little involved, gave Binnington a little bump, you know. But Marchand, I compare him to that psycho girl or psycho boy that someone dates, right? And like the first couple of dates, you're like, oh my God, it's marriage material, so good, so sweet, so good. And then two dates in or the third date in, they're absolute psychopaths. And you get like 400 texts the next day and everything falls off the rails. Well, that's what it's like playing Brad Marchand. So we just went through the first date.
Is that what it was?
Last night. And he got a little comfortable, but just wait till he gets real comfortable. Just wait till he meets your parents and he's that comfortable on the dating aspect of it. Then he's going to be a little shit disturber out there. So that's Marchand.
Speaking of shit disturbers and in particular 42,
Well, you didn't let me talk about him, Gary.
Well, hold on. I want to add this so that you can talk about
Gary's
all of it.
Gary's been gone a couple of weeks, and now he's like fucking can't control himself.
Oh, hush. So, hey, how about our boy 50 with the little elbow under the pile straight Absolutely. To 42 space?
Complimentary, no charge.
No charge.
That's what I call those. A little complimentary elbow. You want to come in here looking for the free buffet? Here you go. Complimentary elbow, buddy. You know? Like, take that with you.
Yeah,
I don't
baby.
Blame him one bit.
Yeah, baby.
I mean, freaking David Backus is, you know, he was our captain, and he played hard, and he played a certain style of game. And I don't think anybody's surprised that he was involved physically last night or involved as a shit disturber because he wants to win. And it's once again, it's like, anytime you go back against your own team, you always want to prove something more to your fan base. Like for David Backus, he wants to prove to Boston fans that he's a Boston Bruin now. And that, like, I don't give a shit about the St. Louis Blues. And I'm all about winning for the Bees, which he is, okay? But the flip side of it, too, is David Backus wants to show the St. Louis fans, you could have still had me, or this is what you're missing, or this is what, you know, I do. And this is what, you know, I could have brought to your team. So he's literally trying to show two different fan bases as well as two different teams. I'll include the teams in those that this is what he's going to do. So, you know what? Last night, I was a little disappointed in a couple of things. One, Joel Edmondson, that was not a stick to the face.
No.
If it was, it literally maybe grazed his beard and moved a few hairs. But then, like, we watched it in super slow-mo, and it's almost embarrassing. Because the act happens, and then you go pause, two, three, head flies back.
Yeah,
I'm like, oh, my God. I'm like, if I was in the court of law, if I was CSI right now, I'd be like, oh, my God. You know, too much, stop. But, right. You know, the referees, in fairness to them, because apparently our fan base in general like to dog on the referees, which I know they come by it honestly sometimes, but they're watching that play, which is non-reviewable, which I don't ever want plays like that reviewable. But you're watching a play like that where guys are skating at 20, 22 miles an hour down the ice, and it's happening fast, and you see a guy's head fling back, and then, you know, I've never seen a stick in the chin break anybody's legs, but apparently it paralyzed David Backus' legs, and he dropped to the ice. And, you know, then he's sitting there holding his mouth like good old Claude Lemieux used to do every time he got touched. So, you know, but that's gamesmanship on his part, and, you know, him and Joel Edmondson battling head-to-head. I like that matchup. I don't think David Backus will ever fight Joel Edmondson. So, you know, if you're going to have a scenario like that, you want your big dog or your bully in the schoolyard, you want him matched up against a guy like Backus. And we already know Jordan Binnington's not going to get rattled. And you know what? Like I said, he gave a little complimentary elbow to Backus, letting him know, hey, buddy, yeah, I know you're there. I know you're trying to get to me, but here, why don't you eat this for a second, because now you know I'm engaged too. So I liked it all around. I, you know, David Backus is a tremendous human being. He was a great guy, a friend of mine throughout the years, and great family. But look, somebody asked me the question last night. I know I'm all over the place today, but we've got, you know, we'll call the segment Jamie's ADD.
That's been some, that's the day we started night. The show.
Pretty much that's how it is. Yeah. So people who are listening are usually exhausted by the time I'm done. They're like, what just happened? But, you know, fans asked me last night on Twitter, oh, how hard is it for guys to play aggressive against David Backus? I wrote back, not hard at all.
Like, yeah.
You're playing for the Stanley Cup, and I've seen guys fight their own brothers. Hell, I've seen guys that would run their own mother through the end boards if they had a chance to lift the cup and drink out of it. And, you know, it's just one of those things where you're competing for the team that's on the crest. You're not sitting there trying to hug it out with opposition players. And, you know, when the series is over and when everything is done, the handshakes happen, then, you know, you hug it out then, you go out for a cold beer then. Hopefully you're celebrating. Hopefully you're not writing that dreaded text of, hey, congrats, you know. Hopefully you're the one that's receiving all the text messages from David Backus or from other players. But once you drop that puck, not only is it game on for, you know, trying to put pucks in the net and get on the scoreboard, it's game on for the physicality and
There's no friends, no family, nothing else. The only family you have is the team you're playing with.
It'll be an interesting, if this thing ever felt like a 7-game series, it feels like it to me. I mean, I still have the Blues in 6, hopefully at home. That'd be great. But I got to ask you before you go, a lot of people upset with the hit by Krug on, I see zero wrong with that hit. Did you?
Yeah. You know, look, I don't see anything wrong with that hit. If that was Robert Thomas who did that to Tory Krug, would be fucking trying to carve a statue today of Robert Thomas in St. Louis. So, I mean, I get it. If anybody knows me, they know I'm certainly cheering for the Blues, but I'm also real about these things. And, you know, I'm used to that happening every single shift in playoff hockey back when I played, and now I've tried to dial it back and realize that the game has changed, but it hasn't changed that to where a guy who's 5'8", maybe with high heels on, runs, you know, skates down the ice and throws a check against Robert Thomas. Yeah, I know the kid's like 19 years old, but when you sign on that dotted line, there's no asterisk that says, yeah, but I'm 19, so you can't play me a certain way. You know, there's none of those disclaimers or addendums to the contract. I mean, it is what it is. And so, you know, he got his head up at the last second, pulled away. But you got to expect that. You know, you got to be shoulder checking all the time. And the best part about it is next time he's in on the forecheck, don't pass up the opportunity to return the favor.
Absolutely.
Tory Krug wants to come around the net, or, you know, he wants to try and use his edges and spin back. Don't stop. Keep those toes pointed forward and put them right through the end board. And then you just tell him after that, say, okay, all tied up, dickhead.
I mean,
I read two comments this morning that I and I'll show them to you, and I was cracking up. That's basically said he hit a teenager. Like they were upset that Tory Krug hit a teenager like that. I was just dying. Wow. Come
that
on.
Goes back to my comment earlier.
I know.
You know how many teenagers have kicked a piss out of freaking 20 and 30 year olds that come in the NHL? Like, Tony Twist was a teenager at one point. Yeah, no, so was kidding. Bob Probert. So, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, well,
it was good. I think, hey, Ribs, is the no roster moves, you think?
That's a tough one. Yeah. You know, as much as I like let's just say this. I'm going to hold back on actual roster moves because if Vince Dunn isn't healthy, then it's a moot point to even talk about it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If he's healthy and we'll play this game, I'll play along just for the hell of it. If he's healthy, I think you might see number 6 come out. I like his grit. I like everything. But I think Joel Edmondson himself would tell you he wasn't thrilled with his game last night. He had a couple of turnovers. He has a guy beat him backdoor at the net and put him, you know, tap one in. And he gives up the puck a few times in his own end right in front of the net. I just think it wasn't his best performance. Now, you know, I haven't had a chance to dive back into the game and really sit through it properly. Just from looking at it face value, I think that's what it appears to be.
Yeah.
Then the question becomes, do you want to remove that grit from your lineup against a team that's heavy like the Bruins? Probably not. If that's the case, then maybe you're looking at Bortuzzo coming out again. I thought he was okay last night, but once again, he got beat backdoor on a very simple zone entry that was 3-on-3, and he didn't box out at the crease, and his stick was up in the air rather than having it on the ice. Things that you just can't screw up at this time of year. So, you know, if Vince Dunn is healthy and they want to put that kind of player in the lineup, I would think that one of those guys comes out.
Well, I appreciate you playing along with that because now that's the third thing that you've said that Cromer has said. I'm just saying.
You know, it's a good thing. That's a good thing. It's nice that we're in lockstep, Rivs. Hey. You and I. Hey, the next time Fox Sports needs a guy to fill in for you, you just tell them to give me a buzz. All right.
Well, we'll have to adjust the lighting for one thing, because that's the orange tan that you have. He's been working a little bit lately, though, because his tan's faded
just a tad. He's a little bit lighter.
I can't tell if his tan's faded or his teeth have stopped glowing. I'm not sure.
Well, there it goes. You just let him know I'm ready, because I got the analysis part of this thing covered for you,
It only took you 3 years of doing the show with me to figure things out for him.
It's actually happened so much more than you want to believe.
Oh, for goodness sakes. Hey, I don't even know why I kept track today.
Oh, you got one thing? Go ahead.
I don't even know where you would put them, but is there any idea that maybe 15 speed would be helpful? I don't even know where you'd put him.
I'm just going to say no. He's not going to disrupt it. I mean, the only guy really that could come out is Sammy Blay, and I'm not taking him out.
Yeah, I'm not taking him out.
Me either.
He still had five hits last night. He's a relevant player. One of the only guys to just take two runs at Zdeno Chara and, you know, go after him. Now he ended up on the ice, but still, it doesn't matter. Those hits pay off because they jar hips, they jar groins, they jar backs and shoulders. And you never know what hit is going to pay off, you know, hence the Erik Karlsson injury in last year. So I say we keep Sammy Blay in there. Apart from that, there's nobody else you're taking out right now. I mean, let's be honest. There's no room for Robbie Fabbri, even though I like him, even though I think he could play. I just don't think you pull somebody out just to do it.
Gotcha. What did what'd they do to Chara? Just stitches or?
Yeah, he's fine. To report this morning.
He's fine.
He's fine. But you know, they could be BSing us. But
it'd be nice. I'm not gonna say it.
His arm started to bruise immediately. You can see it, but even in the TV. When they zoom in, it starts to go purple, like immediately right above the cut. And so, yeah, that's the pressure cut that comes off of that puck. And I've had that happen before, and that's a bad spot. And actually, if anybody's ever seen my gear, which I still wear from when I play, I have these big plastic guards that are sewn onto my elbow pads, and for two reasons. One was to avoid the slashes that we used to get across the forearms all the time, and two was to block shots like that, to where, you know, you get them in the forearms a few times, you learn quickly you got to cover that up.
Smart move.
Yeah, probably it only happened 100 times before I figured it out, but.
Good call, buddy.
Yeah. Well, I know you're busy, my man. I know Kimby would be ecstatic if you could make it in here Thursday. Like I said, he's concerned about you not returning his calls, but you know, we'll let him know. Hey, you know what I'm going to let him know though, is that our buddy Slick Willie, our intern, could probably take him right up to where you're at on Wednesday night. He knows right where you are. So I'm sure he could bring him over.
I don't know if Big Willie even remembers where the hell he was. Poor guy.
Big Will.
Have him spray paint an X next time so he can go back to that mark the next day.
I told him already. I sent him a text, said, hey, you got a shout out today from Rivs. He's going to be excited.
Oh, yeah. He's going to be like, what? What happened?
He hasn't responded. He's like,
that guy woke up this morning not even knowing how he got home, for sure.
Poor guy. Let me tell you, too. We, you know, with the office being closed for Memorial Day yesterday, he was like, I think he was kind of bummed. I think he wanted to come to work and get some stuff done. And I said, no, we're actually closed. And so I sent him something today saying, hey, you know, because he's working at Adam's Smokehouse. And he's like, no, he's got me on the schedule today to close. And I'm thinking, man, he had to get up early today, that poor guy. Man.
There ain't no way that guy would show up for work today.
Big Will. Big Willie.
Yeah, Big Willie.
Big Willie. That's awesome. Big Willie was in the house last night. Okay, Rivs, you got a lot going on, buddy. We know that SynergyHockeySkills.com's got all the stuff going on for the kiddos. I know you're probably about full with all that, but you got your adult camp coming up too.
Yeah, we got spots left in the adult camp. So if you're thinking about signing up, get on the website, SynergyHockeySkills.com. We have a complete page that is outlined for the adult camp. Get on there, register. It's going to be a good time. Obviously, we're working on skills, but we're going to be working on off-ice skills as well, which require probably a little more of a Bud Light, Budweiser theme to it.
Some skills.
But it should be a lot of fun. Yeah.
Skills.
Like I said, the camp is skills, spills, and thrills. So right up Big Willie's alley if he decides he ever wants to come.
I think
up
he
that
might
one.
Need to be Big Will might need to be like a celebrity guest there. I think maybe he might need to put him on some skates and get him out there rolling. That might be good. Well, hey, listen, we appreciate it greatly. Again, all you do for the show, and hopefully you can make it in on Thursday. We get the band back together. That might be a good one.
That might be a good one. I'm going to work on it. Okay, buddy.
Okay, buddy. That's the Big Rivs. We'll see you soon, buddy.
You got it, man. Thank
all
you.
All right. Jamie Rivers, the one, the only, the man, the myth, the legend. I can't even imagine. I'm sure he's watched the game back a couple times, and I like when he puts out his tweets with his takeaways from the game. And you know, to this point, it's hard to deny that. You know, let me rephrase. Let me change how I was going to bring this up. If you follow Rivs at all, you know that he's been doing a lot of stuff on 101. He does the Fox stuff. He's doing all that, right? And what I really like is that as the Blues, and this is not a disrespectful statement to anybody out there, okay? But, you know, he's joining in with a bunch of guys that I would say that their foray might be a little more baseball-oriented, maybe other sports-oriented. So some of these guys are now really into the hockey thing, just like we all are to some degree. And sometimes they will, you know, bring things up just like I may do as a fan, the frustration part of it. And Rivs, by the time they get done talking to him, will educate them, if that's the term you want to use, when you get told, no, you don't know what you're talking about, basically, which is fun to watch Rivs do, and do it in a fun, lighthearted way. But the reality of it is, if you have followed Rivs at all through this process, even when things didn't seem good for the Blues, and all of us, for one reason or another, were either pissed or what, you can say you had an objective view, you can say that you had an educated view, it really doesn't
matter if the Blues made an adjustment or not.
Yeah.
And so the first 10 minutes of the game Wednesday is going to, I think, be a telltale sign of what's to come. If the Blues have done their homework and made the adjustments and take away, you know, the advantage that Boston has with speed and manage the puck better, like we've said earlier today, then I think it's going to be a long night for Boston. So hopefully that's, you know,
yeah,
that takes place.
You know, when you watched that game last night, you know, for me.
I did freak out when they scored first, though. I'm not.
Oh, my God. Well, wait a minute. No, freaking out when they scored first is one thing, but when Vladdy buries it, it's like, holy shit.
I know, but my reaction when Vladdy buried it was kind of like, yeah.
Yeah.
When Shin scored, I jumped off the couch and was like, hell yeah.
I know, yeah. But so like after watching the game last night, I just remember like thinking about it, like going over it in my head. And the two things that I noticed during the game, and you know how, and you and I have talked about this for years, watching games together and back and forth. I always have that feeling when a game's over, like, did this guy play? And
17?
Yes. And 18. Well, okay. Except for getting run over a couple times. But
17 didn't have a 17-ish game.
No. And it,
I mean,
and
he got assists, come on.
No shots on goal for 17.
I'm telling you, look good. If you guys, if you're out there, just go to the Blue stats and look at who didn't have a shot on the goal for the Blues last night.
Yeah.
It's significant players.
Yes. And
it's players of substance.
And that was, and you know, the thing that was unbelievable about Schwartz is that the motor that's been running this entire time, right? And it obviously pays off. And listen, I'm not saying he took the day off last night.
He didn't. They played
But
him
I
well.
Promise you,
they played
yes.
Him well.
Just like we always say, everybody's got stuff on the board in their room and certain things are circled. And I can promise you the way Schwartz has played, and I'm not just talking about the goals. I'm talking about the way he has played the game. I guarantee you he's on the board. Like, okay, we got to find a way to neutralize 17 because he has made a difference.
And they did.
Yeah.
They did.
Now it's our turn.
Correct.
Got to make an adjustment.
Correct. I mean, but I love what Jamie says all the time, and he's obviously right. But
obviously.
Everything that caused problems for the Blues last night and led to success for Boston is fixable. It is. It is fixable. Those,
right.
You know, if 6 takes away a stick and 41 takes away a stick, that's 2 of the 4 goals. You know what I mean? Like, those those things can happen.
You'd like to not count the empty net goal, but since we can't seem to score one, I assume you have to count them.
I don't know what 55 is doing, just swatting that puck away in that situation. But there were mistakes that were made that, like Jamie says, are fixable, and that's encouraging, and that's why I'm optimistic, and I still think the Blues will play.
And I want to address one more thing before we go to all the fans out there, okay? I try not to do this, but I have to do this.
Oh, jeez.
All right, I've already brought up the fact that if you're out there tweeting about the hit from Krug last night being dirty and stop.
Yeah, I know.
Stop. Okay, here's the other thing you have to stop.
What?
Okay, stop saying don't pull the goalie when you're down.
Yeah, that's...
Stop it.
I don't know what the reasoning is.
Stop acting like that we shouldn't pull the goalie when we're down a goal with 2 minutes or less in the game. Stop. Stop saying it never works. Stop saying, why do we do that? Stop it.
It worked against us.
Okay, so stop. No, but people are like, well, it doesn't work for us, so don't do it. Stop.
What?
Okay.
I refuse to read those.
Here, the example is a couple weeks ago when I jokingly said, should we decline a penalty?
Yeah.
Okay, because we were solved with power play. That was a joke.
It was a joke.
You obviously... Take the power play. Just like when you're down by a goal and there's a minute 50 on the clock and you have the opportunity to get your goaltender out of there and add a sixth man to the ice, you do so. Okay? Stop.
Yeah, I don't
know. That's it.
Okay, good. Okay, stop.
Oh, wait a minute. One more.
Jamie.
One more.
Chrome's went
stop,
to stop.
Stop. Your last thing. Stop acting like everybody we play against is dirty and we're choir boys. Stop it. There's the other one. Stop it.
Stop that. There's a lot. Okay. Man, how cool was that elbow?
It was cool.
I mean, 50? Well, sure. Mr. Mild-mannered guy, even keel.
Mr. Don't Get Rattled.
Have a full-face elbow.
Yeah. That's good stuff.
And you know, when a goalie elbows you, he's got a ton of stuff on his arms. It can't feel good. He ripped them. Well, I like your stops, so I don't know if people will listen, but hopefully they do.
Good stuff, man. What do you think? Give me a score for Wednesday night.
4-2 Blues.
4-2 Blues.
Boom.
Oh, we're going to bring it right back to
him. Didn't even think about it.
Why? Because that's David Backus's number. Look at your conspiracy theory.
I know.
All the games are going to be 4-2.
NHL wants a 7-game
series. And 4 plus 2 is 6. Blues 1 and 6.
Bam.
All the games are 4-2. Bam.
Boom. Numerology.
All right, great stuff. Love doing the show.
Capricorn.
Appreciate everybody for joining us. Shout out to Big Willie and his the fun he had last night. I know when Big Rivs brings it up that Big Willie was having a good time. And as we mentioned, he is trolling today. He's working it out at Adam's Smokehouse, helping prepare some of the best barbecue in St. Louis. Folks, don't miss out. Adam's Smokehouse, located on Watson Road. Open till 7, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. They do big box lunch orders, catering. Can't help but mention, if you're lucky enough to live in a certain zip code, you may get your food delivered, but you just need to call and find out. But I do suggest going down there and checking out the atmosphere and all the great people that are associated with our friends at Adam's Smokehouse. Mike and the gang do a great job. I know we're partial, but we do think it's the best barbecue in St. Louis. That's our friends at Adam's Smokehouse, St. Louis. Here's your cue. Please don't forget our friend Stephanie Nelson from NelsonLandServices.com, the 5-star locally rated landscaping company that's asking for you to go to STOYouthHockeyFightsCancer.org. Purchase your raffle ticket for tickets for Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Series, which will be at Enterprise Center, hopefully with the Blues up 2-1. That would be a great way to go into Game 4. I know Gary would agree if he was still on the mic. But since he's not, I'll bring up my friend Noel Buckingham because I know he's listening. And I promise you he'll be at Game 4, and I promise you he hopes it's 3-1. And our 2-1 at that time, and then after that it would be 3-1. So that being said, Buckingham Pest Control, we're asking you to support a business that supports our show and helps us stay on the air. Please check them out. We know that you guys will enjoy getting to know Noel and his wonderful wife Kristen as they do an awesome job. Quality people that do quality work. Everybody needs pest control. Don't miss out. That's our friends at Buckingham Pest Control. They do not kill penalties, but they do kill pests and pass the savings along to you. That's Buckingham Pest Control. SynergyHockeySkills.com. You heard from Rivs. Make sure you check them out and get yourself registered for all the good stuff going on there. And my man Randy Green with InnovativeCompanies.com that does awesome work. 35 years experience, second generation craftsman. He just had himself a birthday, which means I'm sure he's got to be at 36 years as an experienced craftsman. But we won't talk about that because nobody wants to get older. But my man Randy Green does do an awesome job. Great family business that you can trust and get involved in your projects. Residential, commercial, industrial, doesn't matter. Randy Green's got you covered. That's InnovativeCompanies.com. Please check us out, BluesNHLPodcast.com. Subscribe to the show there. Check us out on Twitter at STL Blues Podcast. If you're a Blues fan and follow us, we're going to follow you back. Hit us up on Facebook, Blues NHL Podcast. Make sure you've liked our page and clicked invite your friends. It would mean a lot to us. Make sure you check out the pinned post as well. Like it, comment on it, and share it. Hopefully that'll help us bring more people into the fold as well. Blues NHL Podcast on Instagram, and of course, part of lineupmediagroup.fm. Happy to be a part of the other podcasts on the channel, but now the newest streaming platform, Yo Radio. Download it for free on your mobile device today. Hey, they got the new, do you see the new station, Play Gloria? I know you got to jump back in here. Pretty cool, huh?
That's pretty cool.
Pretty cool. Pretty cool.
I like Yo Radio on the golf course.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, you can listen whenever you want. So, yeah, download. It's free. You know, might as well. I mean,
really clear.
Yeah, really clear. So, great stuff. We appreciate them as always. And to my partners in crime, we'll be back on Thursday. Nothing left to say, but let's go Blues.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.